Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, the show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. And we've got a full house today. Ready for it? From the Pikes Peak Library District, CEO, Chief Librarian John Spears is here. John, it's great to see you.
Thanks. Good to be back.
By the way, nice shoes. You got on some Doc Martens. I haven't seen them in a while. I had to bring it up.
Thank you.
They're very nice. We've got Kaya Swanson, Public Relations Specialist. Hi, Kaya.
Hi, good morning.
Great to see you.
Thanks for having us.
And social worker Alicia Quandy is here. Hi, Alicia.
Hi.
It's great to see you.
Good to see you as well.
Okay, I'm just going to preface this by saying the stack of papers I have, you guys, to talk about everything that's happening with the Pikes Peak Library District. I was trying to go out through everything because there is so much going on, isn't there, John?
Yes, there's always a lot going on in the Pikes Peak Library District.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, lots of new programs and changes and stuff. And I think we should start with actually this one, because this one's awesome, right? The No More Overdue Book Fine Fees, right?
Yes.
That's
yes.
A big announcement, right?
It is. We started that with children's materials back in 2017. And then we did a little experiment to see how it would work if we did it with the rest of the collection. And really, there was a couple things we were trying to accomplish with this. One, when we looked at how fines worked, they really weren't helping bring stuff back.
Really?
No, they weren't encouraging people to bring them back. And they were actually acting as a bit of a user fee. And we looked at the percentage of our patrons that were blocked at different locations for financial reasons. And we saw that in some of the areas where we had where there's a little more economic insecurity, up to 20% of our patrons were blocked for financial reasons.
So they couldn't even go and get anything, check anything out.
Yeah, they couldn't even use the library to check out materials. And then in the wealthier areas of our county, the number was only 2%. And so we saw a direct line between how wealthy an area was and how many people were blocked. And we're not here to try to keep people from using the library. We're here to try to get people to use it.
Right.
So that was one of the things that really told us that this is something we needed to take a look at. And it's something that libraries all around the country are doing. As a matter of fact, just last week, the American Library Association, which is the largest national association for libraries, they passed a resolution asking libraries to remove
across the country.
Across the country, yes.
So how does that work then, John? So if somebody has checked out a book, forgot to return it, what if they completely forget to return it? Like, how does that work exactly?
Well, if they will get a notice letting them know that the book is due, and we are going to be starting something soon, automatic renewals. That'll be starting February 11th, where the book, if it's not on hold, it'll be automatically renewed. And people will get a notification letting them know a couple days ahead of time that the book is due and whether it'll be renewed or not. And if it's renewed, no problem. If it's on hold or they've reached the maximum number of renewals, then we ask them to bring it back in. And if they don't bring it back after a certain period of time, we do bill for the item.
Okay.
So we do have a mechanism for making sure that people return items.
Because when I first, saw the press release, I was like, wait, how does that work? Because then stuff could disappear, right? And yeah, Kaya's shaking her head like, yeah. Because stuff could disappear that way and never be come back.
And of course, we want to be sure that other people can use the resources as well. But we just want to make sure that they're available to everybody in the same way.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And okay, so the overdue fines, those have officially gone away.
Those have officially gone away.
Okay.
And they are no more. Now, we do still have fines on some of our more higher-end stuff. For instance, if you check out one of our camera bags or one of the backpacks that we have that let you get into the state parks, we do still have fines on those.
Okay.
Or if you have a laptop that you've checked out.
Okay.
But for things like books, CDs, audiobooks, movies, no more late fines.
Interesting. Well, it's interesting that you said and what you were seeing in the studies and the research and doing this, like how it was affecting different areas.
It really has. We did an amnesty a couple years ago where we told people, hey, come on in, let us know your situation. And when we started waiving fines on those people, we had people that had not visited the library in 15 years.
Because
of these fines. We have families that didn't want to get cards for their children because they were so concerned about the late fines.
Wow.
And that is just totally antithetical to what we want to be as a library.
Wow. That's fascinating to hear that. Absolutely fascinating. Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Pikes Peak Library District adding a social worker. And that's why Alicia Quandy is here. We'll talk about that and a lot more when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We're talking about the Pikes Peak Library District. And joining us this morning, CEO and Chief Librarian John Spears. Hi, John.
Hello.
Kaya Swanson, Public Relations Specialist, is here. Hello, Kaya.
Hello, good morning.
And social worker Alicia Quandi is here. I got it right that time, Alicia.
Hi.
How are you?
Well.
And folks might be thinking, okay, so why is a social worker here with Pikes Peak Library District, right? And that is something, John, that Pikes Peak Library District and other libraries across the state are now doing.
Yes, Denver Public Library was the first one to hire a social worker, and I believe that also Arapahoe and Jefferson County have also hired social workers as well. And the reason is really straightforward, and it is something that is totally in line with the mission that we have, and that's connecting people to the resources that they need. Mm-hmm. And what we found was that a lot of people who were coming into our libraries were people that had specific information requirements that we just weren't necessarily equipped to handle.
Okay.
So in the same way that someone might need a business specialist, which we have, or a nonprofit specialist, or a law librarian, or a teen librarian, people would come in and they would need information that might lead them to a social service agency or might connect them to a resource, or they might need help filling out a form or understanding something in the social service sphere that as librarians, we just weren't necessarily ready to handle. Mm-hmm. So hiring a social worker has allowed us to meet the information needs of that segment of the population in ways that we were never able to meet before.
Well, and let's take, like, let's say the downtown library. I've seen, and I know, and we'll talk about the other aspect to this as well, but there is a large homeless community there, right? And they come into the library and kind of getting some complaints, weren't you, from some of the people visiting the library?
We have received some complaints from people who are, I believe, a little uncomfortable being around a large number of people who are experiencing homelessness. It's something that is not a situation that a lot of people find themselves mm-hmm. in most times during the day. As a library, we are open to everyone, and it doesn't matter whether you have a home, whether you don't, how secure your housing is. You're welcome at the Pikes Peak Library District, mm-hmm. yeah. and this is just one more way that we can serve that population in the best way that we can.
Well, and that's just it, isn't it? It's another needed resource to help connect people to resources.
Absolutely. There's the people who are in the library, regardless of what their needs may be, connecting them to the social worker at the library is a social work principle of meeting people where they are.
Well, and there was an incredible write-up in the Gazette about adding Alicia to the library and your approach. I kind of find it, I was reading it, Alicia, and I was like, okay. So the approach, you, like you said, you meet them where they are. And you walk around and you just kind of talk to people, don't you? And kind of get to know them and build trust.
Absolutely. And people don't necessarily expect to come across a social worker in a library. So a lot of what I have been doing is sort of outreach within the library to make people aware of my position, what I can do for them, and then finding out what kinds of needs they might have. And that takes a little while for someone to acknowledge that they might need some help or they have needs that that I may be able to help them get connected to resources that can meet those needs.
Well, and the resources available, and you've also in the article it talks about how you are now, you know, going to meet with those resources to fully understand them so you can better help that community.
Yeah, people run into various barriers, whether it's not getting through on the phone, not knowing exactly where to go, or what a place might offer for them. So that's what I try to find out, yeah. is who they can talk to, what the resources are, what their intake process looks like, and all of those kinds of things. And also have contacts at the various social service agencies so that when I'm meeting with a patron, I have someone that I can reach out to and get the right information for them.
Well, one thing that I noticed was interesting in this article is it seems like when trying to connect folks with resources, some of them do not like, because with some things you do need a caseworker. That's what it's called, correct? A caseworker to help right. them walk through the process. And it was interesting in the article to learn that a lot of them don't actually like that. Is that not, I don't want to generalize, but some don't. How's that? Better?
Yeah, some yeah. might not like working with caseworkers for various reasons. So my position isn't tied to any specific payer source or any specific need. I can work with little children or adults or elders. people experiencing homelessness or people with developmental disabilities. There doesn't have to be a label.
It can
even be someone who just has some general questions where a social service agency might be helpful for them. And a lot of caseworkers do work in agencies and they're great, but they do have requirements around them. Sometimes they're also overburdened and don't have the ability to give someone the attention that they are desiring.
Yeah.
So that's part of where my position can also support those agencies, because I do have a little bit more availability to meet with people on an as-needed basis.
And how has the response been? Because bringing Alicia, you into the library, what has the response been by the community? Has it been great so far?
I would say that it has. In my experience, people have been really excited to know that I'm there. People have been reaching out to me a lot, asking lots of different questions. I can't really walk through the library anymore without someone tracking me down, which is great. You know, they know I'm there. They know that I will do what I can to help them. So I think that that's a pretty positive response.
Absolutely. And you're at the downtown library.
Yeah, that's where I'm based.
Now, are there other social workers at different branches, or is it just the downtown?
So I work for the entire library district.
Okay.
I am based at the downtown library, and that's where we see a lot more, I guess you would say, demand for services. But I am available to all of the branches, and I go out to all of the branches for different meetings, trainings, and different needs that they have too. I can go out and meet patrons at any of the libraries part of my scope.
That's incredible. Great addition, I'm sure.
It's been phenomenal. It has really allowed us to assist people in ways that we didn't necessarily think we'd ever be able to.
Yeah.
It's a trend that the first library that ever did it was San Francisco.
Okay.
About 5 or 6 years ago. And since then, it's really taken off. And I think there's about maybe 32, 33 libraries in the country now that have social workers. And every library that's done it has just seen the incredible benefit to the community, but then also to the staff, because it frees up our staff that aren't ready to necessarily help people in this way to really devote themselves more to the things that they do have an expertise in.
And again, connecting, you know, them to someone that does know the resources and the places that they can go to get help.
Yeah, and from a community service perspective, I think one of the really important things to note is this is one of the two places in town, correct me if I'm wrong, that you can access a social worker to answer these types of questions without having to purchase anything or put your name on a waiting list. And so it's just a really great way for us to ensure that these services are really available to people. And again, that goes back to our mission of ensuring that we're providing people with the information they need.
Absolutely. Well, there is a large amount of resources available in our community. And is it been good getting connected with all of the different resources available?
Yeah.
Smooth, I'm sure, but there's so many, right? There's a lot.
There are so many.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting to see the work that people are doing in the community.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we can feel like, you know, it's not enough and maybe it will never be enough, but there are a lot of really good-hearted people who are doing very effective service delivery in the city. So it's really nice to see that, and also to know where to direct people for very specific things.
Well, and that's just it. I think sometimes it gets so overwhelming that having somebody help navigate that also can help tremendously. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, you guys, we need to take a quick news break. And when we come back, we're going to have more with the Pikes Peak Library District. Oh, we're just scratching the surface. Just scratching. We'll have more when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we're talking with the Pikes Peak Library District CEO and Chief Librarian John Spears is here. Hello, John.
Hello.
Kaya Swanson, Public Relations Specialist, is here. Hi, Kaya.
Hi, good morning.
And social worker Alicia Quandi is here. Hello.
Hi.
Well, and we were talking about, Alicia, you coming in and helping be a resource for homeless community members and more at the Pikes Peak Library District. And John, that kind of led me to my next question. I know that the Pikes Peak Library District, is this just the downtown branch, but you actually had to put in a no camping ban?
We actually did it at all of our locations in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
That have land. So it happened at East, 21C, Penrose, and Old Colorado City.
Were you seeing a large number of, say, the homeless community come and camp out overnight?
At Penrose, we started seeing it grow back in October is when we really started noticing that this was becoming a large concern. And on a peak night, we had between 80 and 90 people camping out on the grounds of the Penrose Library.
Interesting. And then you had to work with them when you went to this no camping ban.
We did. We actually, for the no camping ban, it was something that we worked with social service agencies on because we wanted to make sure that we did it in a way that that was compassionate and respected the dignity of these people. And we also worked with the Colorado Springs Police Department. We worked with the city prosecutors because we wanted to do it in a way that would give people adequate warning and that hopefully would actually steer them into the shelter that they needed.
Well, and in this whole process and you coming on board and everything, now the community also, I mean, you're kind of, I mean, continuum of care, you know what I mean? You're part yes. of that group now and part of trying to help work with this and help try and resolve it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and part of the work that I do is, as I said, helping identify the various needs that people have, but also try to work through some misperceptions that they may have.
Yeah.
People have had experiences that maybe weren't pleasant at some of the shelters, but some people who hadn't been there, you know, talking through what the costs and benefits to them would be.
Yeah.
I hope, and from what I've heard, has led some people to utilize the shelters while they're working to get permanent housing.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And you also do help try and connect people with permanent housing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's various programs that can put you on a wait list whenever the Colorado Springs Housing Authority wait lists come open. I help notify people of those, and if they're not comfortable using the computer, we'll sit down and put them on a wait list together. So just all the various ways that we can get them into the system, so to speak, so that they're on lists and aware of the various resources that are available to them for permanent housing, definitely.
Yeah, it's incredible. An incredible resource, like we were talking about, John. It's incredible.
Well, we've had, you know, quite a few success stories. I've had many of our patrons who are experiencing homelessness come up and tell me that, you know, they've been on the waiting list, they have an apartment, or there was a group that got housed by Urban Peak a few months ago.
Oh, great.
We've helped people get Medicaid for the first time in years. And, you know, these are all things that don't just help that individual, but they also help the community as well.
Fantastic. And you guys, I'm sure we could keep talking about this one subject for a couple of hours, but we still have so much other stuff to talk about today. So I hope you don't mind if we kind of jump around here.
Not at all.
And it was just really a big press release, right? There's reading programs.
Yes. So,
and now this isn't just for kids, because you might think, you know, the kids do the reading programs, right. But they're not just for kids.
Right. There is this perception that reading programs are, you know, they take place in the summer. They're for the young kids. And, you know, you have your minute spent reading tracker that you fill out with your parents. But, you know, we're here to encourage lifelong learning for every member of our community, regardless of their age. And so one of the ways that we try to do that is through this winter adult reading program. And it kicks off tomorrow, February 1st. But our big kickoff parties are actually taking place Saturday, February 2nd at 6 of our 14 facilities. And we're going to have a hot chocolate bar and a book swap activity and free totes for the first 30 registrants who arrive at these parties. And so we're really excited. It's going to be a great event.
So how does the reading program work exactly? You know,
sure.
So is it like a, like you said, like a regular, like, here's your list and you go.
Kind of. You know, yeah. It sort of harkens back to that traditional program where when you register, you get a reading log and you hit certain milestones throughout the program. So you can either achieve the program by reading 8 books, or you can read 4 books and attend 4 of our activities, which include a Native American oral storytelling hour. There's a lot of craft activities that we're doing. We're making bookmarks out of book spines, and that all counts towards it.
Oh, that's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's going to be really neat. We have an African drumming showcase that's going to happen, and so there's a lot of different things to pick from throughout the program, which is February 1st through March 31st. So it's certainly a really great way to connect with the community and encourage yourself to read and continue learning. And it's a great program.
So now, do you need to pre-register to be a part of this?
No, not necessarily. Okay. So the program happens through an app called Beanstack. So you actually register online. So it's Beanstack. And when you arrive at our kickoff party on Saturday, if you need some help registering, we can do that. You can register in person there. And then you kind of go through the program both online and with your in-hand reading log. So it's a really fun program and a great way to meet people as well.
I'm not going to tell you guys how long ago it's been since I was part of a program. And now you're talking about apps and stuff. Like, you download the app and that attracts your reading program, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's one more way that we feel we're making reading and community engagement really accessible. Because, you know, if the app doesn't work for you, there's also that in-hand reading log you can use. And we just want to ensure everybody can participate.
Now, do people still have library cards?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay, because I was going to be like, you know, John, if I show up and be like, here's my, and you look at me like, Renee, what are you doing with this card thing? Right. You know, scan your phone.
Well, you can do that. So we still have the physical library cards, but our mobile app now, you scan your library card and then that can actually act as your library card, which is really cool.
Look at that.
I know it.
Look at that. Now you just need to put the whole library on your... No, I'm kidding.
Right.
I am kidding. Okay, so more information on the adult reading program can be found on the website.
Yes, it is at ppld.org/WARP, which stands for Winter Adult Reading Program. So, or WARP, if that's easier.
WARP. Come on, adults, let's go grab our books.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and I was checking out the events calendar for you guys. Yeah, look at John's face. Like, we're going to go there?
Yeah.
We are.
Good luck.
Yeah. So we'll have more with Pikes Peak Library District coming up next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we're talking all things Pikes Peak Library District. CEO and Chief Librarian John Spears is here. John, what?
Good morning.
Kaya Swanson, Public Relations Specialist, is here. Hello. Can you guys tell I'm tired?
What?
Okay, come on, Alicia. You ready? Alicia Quandy, social worker, is here. What?
Hey-o.
There you go.
That's pretty good.
So you guys were reminding me in the break, like, I don't even know how to, like, summarize everything you guys just told me of all the different services, all the things available at all the different locations. So, because some people may not know, like, oh, by the way, there's an entire recording studio now at which location?
It is at Sand Creek Library.
That's so incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's state-of-the-art and gorgeous, and it's just one of the three makerspaces that we have in the district. So, you know, if you head up to 21C, we'll help you use the 3D printer or the laser engraver or, you know, the video studio. The opportunities are really endless.
Yeah, CNC router, Cricuts, sergers, sewing machines. At Sand Creek, we have a kiln.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really?
Yes, we have a kiln.
Well, and then you guys were telling me about the meeting rooms. Apparently, this is in the country?
So, of the... This is going to get a little technical and boring for a second, but our calendaring software is used by a lot of libraries around the country. Mm-hmm. Some that are a lot bigger than us. We have more events at our libraries than any of the other libraries that use this software. So our rooms are used about 30 to 40,000 times a year. That's by both the public and by library staff. But a lot of people don't realize we've got free meeting facilities in almost every one of our branches. And some of these have pretty high-end equipment, whether it's projectors. At 21C, we've got video conferencing that people can use. I believe at East we do too. You know, there's a whole lot happening at the library that a lot of people don't know about.
Well, like you said, the meeting rooms, most people, hey, I need to get together with a group of people, but I don't want to pay, right?
Right.
It's free.
Yeah. Yep. That's insane.
Yep. And you can reserve space online or you can call in and we'll help you do it. So
that's incredible. Yeah. So do we even tiptoe to the into the event realm? Because
it's a little overwhelming.
It
really
is. So let's just kind of break it down.
Sure.
Should we maybe look at maybe the next month or so? Well, or is that like 10,000
we'll
events?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the next month or so.
Right. So coming up, obviously, we have the Winter Adult Reading Program, and that's got events spread out throughout the next month. But in addition to that, with tax season upon us, we do have at some of our locations tax preparation assistance available. So, you know, all of that is available on our website, so you can check out the schedule there. We also, you know, we'll teach you how to play the ukulele. We have wine and art events you can attend.
I want to know how to play the ukulele. Right? Did you bring your ukulele today?
I do actually have a ukulele.
But you didn't bring it with you.
I did not bring it with me.
We should do it sometime. good stuff.
So play the ukulele. What else do we got to have going on?
We also have our maker in residence right now. Her name is Linda Riley, and she will teach you how to knit, and we'll send you home with materials and knitting needles so that you
really?
Can practice your
I've
new
trade. I've always wanted to learn how to knit.
Right, right. So, you know, really the opportunities are endless, and with 14 different facilities, the event list is just... It is very long, so...
It is...
Right.
So I was, getting ready for you guys to come out, I was like, I'm just going to go check out some of the events.
Well, we have the camera and lighting program coming up, too, in the video studio.
Mm-hmm. So, and you know, we'll also do one-on-ones with you in the video studio if you want to learn a little bit more about videography or how to use a video studio. So really, you know, your best option is to just go to the website and check it out.
I was just going to go there. Like, do you just go to the website and can you schedule and reserve?
And on the website, you can search programs by age, by subject matter, by location. So, you know, if you have one branch that you're really particular to and you want to stick there, you can just check out what they have going on this month or, you know, and if you have questions, you can always call too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here I thought I was going to be like so smart. I'm just going to go grab an event or two.
Yeah.
Right.
It's extensive.
It is, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I know this might be a very rhetorical question and go ahead. You can look at me like, but kids stuff going on right now.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah. So every month or every week really at several locations, we have a pause to read program where, our trained dogs will, come in and hang out with our
and
young.
Read to them?
Yeah. Well, no. No, the dogs are not trained to read, unfortunately. That would be really cool. But they, hang out with our young reluctant readers and, the readers can practice reading aloud to the dogs, and it's a really fun environment. We also have, you know, craft classes and music and movement classes, tots and blocks, because we know that block play can increase young ones' speech abilities and community abilities. And so, again, you know, it's a very extensive list. And
it
so,
is.
Yeah.
And probably a family place, too.
Yeah.
So three of our locations are designated family place libraries, Library 21C, Sand Creek, and the Fountain Library. Mm-hmm. And those have interactive play areas for the adults to come in. For the whole family. So
it's awesome.
A place where a parent and a child can come in, and they would be playing together, but then there will also be other parents and children, so it allows for socialization. And then about once a month, we bring in an expert on a different field, so it might be an audiologist, it might be a nutritionist, and they will circulate through the people who are there and just to answer questions. So it's not like a lecture. It's just more of an opportunity to speak with a specialist.
That's incredible. Again, you guys, we've just scratched the surface, but hey, it was a good scratch, right? It was like a...
Right. It was a good one.
It was a good scratch.
Yeah.
All this information can be found online at ppld.org.
Yes.
Did we cover good stuff?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Anything else we need to hit on before we wrap up?
I kind of feel like we really covered all the bases. You know, I wish I could list off every event that we had, but we'd be here for an hour.
Throw this out as a teaser.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Go to East and ask to see the Educational Resource Center.
Ooh.
Yep. If you have a child, just go to East, head to the second floor, and say you want to see the Educational Resource Center. You'll be blown away by what's there.
There you go.
A hot tip, Colorado Springs.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. CEO and Chief Librarian John Spears, Kaio Swanson, Public Relations Specialist, and Social Worker Alicia Quandi. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
From the Pikes Peak Library District. Again, ppld.org. And coming up tomorrow on The Extra, it is Business Week in Review. That's tomorrow on KRDO News Radio.